Hello and welcome to Irreverent Testimony, the political podcast by and for Gen Xers and millennials from a left-leaning perspective. It is December 15th, 2015. There's about 2 feet of snow out right now here in lovely Denver, Colorado. As usual, I'm Travis.
I'm Rachel.
That lovely crunching sound you hear in the background is my dog, Rigsby, who decided that she would eat her kibble right now as soon as we started recording. We just got done with another GOP debate. It promised to be only 2 hours, but seemed to run about 12.
Yeah, it felt at least 12.
It felt like the uncut version of The Abyss.
Yeah, Lord of the Rings, DVD all set. Three of them. Yep, yep.
Not
enjoyable at all.
No, it's getting kind of old. It was like fun at first when we sort of made a drinking game out of it, and then we'd talk about it, and now it's just becoming excruciating.
It really is.
Yeah.
We do it for you guys. You know, we must love you because we do this, but Jesus Christ.
And it was bad and frustrating sort of in the way, like when the Red Letter Media guys watch a bad movie, but it wasn't as bad as they hoped it would be, so they couldn't laugh at it the whole time.
Exactly.
It was just bad.
It's like not bad in like a giant shit show train wreck. It's just bad enough to just make my head hurt.
Yeah, exactly. Ugh. But obviously we got a lot of thoughts and Rachel's got pages of notes. So
of course.
I guess a couple housekeeping things first. We were just guests on Arliss Bunny's podcast called Hopping Mad. She had sort of a round table with us and another gentleman from
the left show.
Mm-hmm. And I was sick, having horrible bronchitis and using my horrible backup microphone, so I sounded terrible. So if you want to check that out, is it hoppingmad.net?
Yeah, it's just look up Hopping Mad podcast. It's on Netroots Radio, and then we did a little sort of for the internet only after show. So it's about an hour and 20 minutes, but it was really fun. We had a great time.
Yeah, so
they were all great.
We were broadcast, was it yesterday or 2 days ago, to about a million listeners.
Yeah. So welcome any new listeners we may have from Arliss or from the Left Show. We'll try not to let you down.
Yeah. We're going to be very loose tonight because we have to keep our sanity.
Yeah.
Any other little housekeeping before we get down to brass tacks here?
On the recall effort?
Yes.
We just want to kind of give you guys an update on that. We are still working on it. So not a lot of new news in terms of filings and that kind of thing. December is considered sort of a dead political month.
Mm-hmm.
But we have been talking to the local DNC here in Colorado.
Yeah.
As well as we just got picked up. Emily's List just shot out a sort of press release about her being on their their list for
their
next November,
list,
their hit list.
Or put an S in front of that H.
Exactly.
Same idea.
So that was really exciting. She's getting some pressure. Still no word from her. She's been really, really
Radio silence.
Yeah. Hasn't talked to anybody, not the press, not anything. So we don't really know what that means, but we're forging ahead. So if you want to go to the website, it's recalljoannewinholtz.com.
And on Facebook, Recall Joanne Winholtz, there's two separate groups.
Yep.
Well, they're sort of combined groups at this point. One is just a forum and one is like a member group. And we're going to have if you ask to be a member and you're a member of that group, we're going to ask you to actually get more involved and do some stuff for
us. Yeah, canvassing and that kind of stuff rather than just signing the thing. So anyway, that's the only little bit of update I have on that.
Yep. All right, so without further ado, we watched this friggin' debate. We skipped the kids' table one. I guess we caught the last half hour or so, maybe.
Yeah, and we have some notes from Dana on that. He watched it, and we have some funny things we'll tell you about what
he
happened there.
He watched both debates, and he's still sane?
No.
He's still upright?
No, barely. No, but he's very funny. So maybe I'll start with a couple of those because he sent me some updates.
Did he want to Skype it?
No, he can't, unfortunately. But he was sending me some updates because Travis and I just did not feel like we could watch both of them and be any good to you.
We were right.
Oh my God.
Right. We barely made it through the main show.
Exactly. So the people that were participating in the kids' table debate were Santorum, Huckabee.
The person, not the Google description, Santorum.
Exactly.
Which is one like a bucket of Santorum, frothy Santorum.
Yeah, exactly. Rick
might as well
Santorum. He basically is. I mean, it's a great definition. So it was Huckabee, Lindsey Graham, Santorum, and Pataki, who I think everyone forgot existed.
He kind of looks and sounds like Kasich a little bit.
A little bit, yeah. So Dana's opening notes for the debate was, Huckabee is a shitbag who's accidentally making a case for gun control. Wolf Blitzer is asking clickbait questions. Lindsey Graham is a hawkish tool. Yeah. Santorum, Nuff said, and they are all ignoring Pataki's corpse in the corner.
One thing I will say, and just catching, I've caught some of the kids' table debates or most of others, and it is kind of clear, like, why these guys are at the kids' table. I mean, yeah, they're all horrible, despicable, awful candidates for president that will make me want to, you know, move anywhere if any of them, God forbid, became elected. But there are clearly more seasoned politicians of the group, and it's pretty clear
these are not them.
That the kids' table are not them, and why they're not getting any traction at all.
Exactly.
You know, at least I can take my hats off to the Cruises and Rubios, because they're excellent bullshit artists at the very least.
They are, yeah.
Yeah, and the others
and
are
they've
not
been practicing. You can tell that, like, the debate prep's been going pretty well for some of them. These guys, it felt just like they're just flailing all over the place.
They're just in it to book sales or something at this point. I have no idea. Try to get a cabinet position, maybe.
Maybe. Or, I don't know. Especially for somebody like Santorum.
You see, nobody's,
he has no
touch
career anymore,
pole.
So, like, is he just like, I just want to be in the
what,
news?
Is he going to help him carry Pennsylvania? He lost that state by 17 points in his last Senate run.
I don't know, but yeah. So I guess one of the highlights was Huckabee made a really roundabout, totally nonsensical argument. He said he wants to a larger bombing campaign in the Middle East,
sure,
so that kids around the world will know that if they join ISIS, they'll be signing their own death warrant, which will stop recruitment.
Right, because nothing curbs recruitment like blowing up a bunch of civilians.
Yeah, killing a bunch of kids' parents is definitely going to stop recruitment. Mm-hmm. I don't know about that. I guess at one point,
that's another, like, sort of example. Like, a lot of these clowns in the big stage said basically the same thing, but in a much more nuanced way.
Well, and they all used this
death warrant
thing.
They didn't sound like a maniac.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But they did the death warrant thing. That seems to be
death warrant is big.
That's running around right
now. And apparently Hillary Clinton was, in fact, Barack Obama's vice president.
Apparently
I
didn't realize
that.
I mean, she may have actually been the president. It's just like Obama Clinton.
Obama Clinton did this. Obama Clinton did that. Yeah. Obama Clinton are responsible for the stuff that the State Department has nothing to do with.
Santorum made the argument at one point that he should be the president because he understands religious fanaticism in talking about ISIS, which is a really interesting argument, I think.
It's the most honest thing Rick Santorum has said
ever
in this whole
said,
campaign
right?
season.
I mean,
listen, you want to know a religious crazy person? I know.
It's me. I know how to talk to these people. I am one of them. Just, you know, different faith. Barely.
Yeah. Yeah. It was almost like he was poking fun at himself, but not really.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know.
I
don't know where you're going with that, Rick.
I don't know either. But yeah, those were kind of the big highlights. We watched the last, 20 minutes or something of it. And it was, you said.
It was what it was.
A bunch of mentally ill people.
It's going to watch the varsity and then watching the last few minutes of the JV and thinking, none of these kids are ready for varsity.
Exactly.
They're all bench warmers.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, on to the actual debate, which we watched.
Oh, do we
I know. Rehash it all. It was hosted by CNN. And it was about...
How come Hugh Hewitt is always there?
Yeah.
Hugh Hewitt is like a Limbaugh light, kind of.
Yeah, he's on some radio station, not Sirius, but something sort of like that, probably for religious or conservative people. I've never heard of it. But they were also streaming the debate. And I guess he's taken serious. I don't really know much about him.
It's the equivalent of like CNN was hosting the Democratic debate and they let, Sam Cedar get in some questions or a big liberal radio guy.
Wow. I don't know.
He's
a really weird face. I feel like he has had too much plastic surgery. and he was totally defending CNN at one point, which I thought was really interesting. So they've got to be butt buddies of some kind.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He's on the payroll. Sure.
Yeah. So this one was about foreign affairs. Yeah.
Yeah, of course. Let me just say, sort of off the debate, I was disappointed. I kind of hoped that there would be desperation.
Yeah.
Desperation that Trump is running away with it, so everybody's going to throw firebombs and get back in it. Desperation from Trump because Cruz surpassed him in Iowa, that he was going to have to double down on his crazy. Carson, because he's just fallen off the map completely, that he would have to throw some crazy bombs to get his name. And nobody really did. I don't know if it's to their credit or... you know,
they're just getting better about controlling their insane egos. I don't know.
Maybe. I mean, Christie kind of, but Christie's
and
nobody
Rand Paul,
cares.
They had a whole tiff, which we'll get into.
No, but yeah. Christie was kind of the only one. I think he said the president is feckless and weak and he's a loser and a pansy and I want to punch him or something.
Somebody was to punch the Russians in the nuts or something. Yeah, they're really,
no,
there wasn't
no, I was
nuts.
Expecting people to double and triple down on, you know, Muslim is the religion of hate and all the Muslims and. No, they didn't really do that.
They really
didn't do that. They in fact, they kind of made most of them made a point to say, no, not all Muslims. We do have Muslim allies. We do have, and some of that may be very cynical. I mean, they have business partners in Saudi Arabia, and everywhere else, and they can go out on the campaign trail to a room of 50 yokels in Iowa and say, yeah, we hate all the Muslims, and we're gonna. Bomb the desert until it glows or whatever. But on a debate stage, they can't go that far.
No, they can't. And they don't want to. Because, you know, you can say
even
it in
Trump
that room.
Sort of, he didn't tone it down, but he was more nuanced.
Yeah, you can say it in that room. People maybe think, oh, the media distorted it. If
right.
they hear
you
say
that.
It out loud on a debate stage of the sort of size that was,
then you've really
then you've
gone
really,
too far.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So I think that's probably part of it. They all got warned off the we hate all Muslims bandwagon.
Yeah, but I see, does that help anybody but Trump? Because if you're Bubba in Missouri and you've been, you know, getting pumped up because everybody's saying, you know, ban all the immigrants, ban all the Muslims, hate all the Muslims, and everybody was kind of wishy-washy tonight, and you're a big Trump supporter, then I don't think anything happened tonight to sort of throw you off that. Right?
No, I agree. I mean, there were a couple of, I mean, obviously everything that was said was in some way despicable, but there
Most
were a
everything,
couple
yeah.
of things about Muslims that we'll get into a little bit later about. Killing their families and things about that. But,
oh, yeah. Well, who was that killer? Was Trump the one that wanted to kill the terrorist families?
Yeah, so his argument was we should kill the families of people that we think are a part of ISIS because...
It's like the mafia or Stalin.
Yeah, because they don't care about their own lives, but they care about their families'
or
lives.
Or they knew or they should have known.
And
or...
yeah, the families then will
It was
stand
pretty
up.
Nuts,
But
yeah.
then if that's the policy and you're a family member of someone you suspect being a part of ISIS, you're not going to go to the authorities because you're like, they're going to kill me.
Yeah.
So what's
right.
that's not a really great tool.
Yeah, you didn't really think that through,
no,
did you, Donald?
No, we want people to report their family members, but then we're going to kill you if you're a family member of someone that you reported, so... It's a really great
Yeah, good circular logic there.
Yeah. So
and Bush called him. I think a few people called him out on that, and a few people stayed quiet.
Oh yeah, Bush and so like the two kind of rivalries tonight were Bush Trump and then Christie Paul.
Christie Paul obviously hate each other's guts.
There's really
because,
no reason for them to fight. Like
yeah, there's
saying.
No re- there's yeah. no reason where it's like okay to get back in this race you have to take down Christie. it's like no. These are both bottom feeders and they just that was refreshing at least. It was like these guys obviously just hate each other.
They do,
and they're going to use this
even when
opportunity
they shook hands at the beginning of the night.
It was
like,
very awkward. Yeah,
they don't like.
They want to sling shit at each other, and Paul even brought up Bridgegate, which
he did. Which
yeah,
we will
our
talk
highlight.
About that,
yeah.
that quote later. Okay,
he threw
so
that
opening
bomb.
Line, sort of opening things. They had the standard like Trump's in the middle because he's the big guy.
Mm-hmm.
The two people flanking him were Ben Carson and Ted Cruz.
Mm-hmm.
Ted Cruz has risen above Marco Rubio at this point. He's our number three, I think.
Yeah.
He's just below Carson, right? They're like right around the same poll numbers.
I guess they're kind of neck and neck.
Yeah.
But Rubio's on the way up. Carson's precipitously falling.
Yeah. And Cruz is on the way up for no reason. So
Paul, for lots of reasons. And from the Republican side.
Right.
Yeah.
Rand Paul was first and really just... pulled the Rand Paul party line, which was we don't need to be America's police and libertarian sort of isolationist ideals. Absolutely
And
expected.
Cruz threw a little of that into, which I'm going to get to, which was interesting. Cruz did say a couple things that are not going to ingratiate him certainly to the GOP orthodoxy, which may have been part of his plan.
Yeah. I think he's really trying to look electable in a general.
Well, I think he's trying to peel off some of Paul's supporters, too.
I think so, too.
Because he definitely said some things that were an obvious repudiation of Bush-Cheney foreign policy.
Yeah.
And I'll get to that.
Yeah. So Paul did, sounded like a pretty reasonable guy.
Well, sometimes.
I'm saying in the opening.
In the opening.
Yeah. Kasich really didn't have anything to say about foreign policy in his opening. He just said, we need to stop fighting with each other because the bigger threat is external,
Kasich
not
seemed a little less unhinged tonight.
Yeah.
He wasn't literally his arms weren't flailing as much, and like his shirt tail didn't come untucked, and
right.
he didn't look like sloppy and out of control.
Like he's literally just losing his mind on stage, like I'm watching a man descend into madness.
Yeah, yeah. He looked at least under control. Yeah, they gave him some doggy doubters or something.
Yeah. Christy talked about the Los Angeles school shutdown, which in case which anybody doesn't know.
Somebody called in a bomb threat, and they said it was a credible threat. So
there was an email that
shut down all of LA County schools.
650,000 students were sent home, which is nuts.
Yeah.
So he talked about that.
But it turned out to be a hoax, and apparently just the fact that that happened is all Obama's fault and terrorism.
Obama and Hillary. Obama Clinton.
Because somebody sent a hoax in.
That's their fault, and, you know. Because the children, it didn't make it. It was like,
and the children are
going
to be terrified when they go back to school. Yeah. No, they will effing not. They're going to be very disappointed they didn't get an extra day off of school.
Yeah, and it was not a real threat. So,
no.
Anyway, yeah, he wanted to talk about that. Fiorina wants to take the country back. And she wanted to point out that she has been tested.
She also wanted to point out that she is the sole proprietor of a vagina.
Yeah. She was a little bit like her lady parts tonight were a thing, and not in the way that like mine are. Not like a leave them the fuck alone.
No, more like I have them. Have control of them. Makes me better.
It does. Yeah, it was like she talked about Margaret Thatcher a lot. She talked about she literally at one point said, and we'll get to that. Like, don't vote for men.
Yeah, basically.
Which, you know, whatever.
Okay.
They say it about her, so I guess she can say it back. I don't know. Sure. It was. But yeah, so she's all. In her red dress, talking about...
And her big cross. She had a big old crucifix.
Yeah, big old crucifix around her neck. Yep. Mm-hmm. Every guy there had on a red tie with the exception of Ben Carson and John Kasich. Kasich wore a blue tie and Ben Carson wore some sort of blackish blue tie.
And Jeb usually wears a blue tie. It was red tonight.
Red. Everybody else was with red because power and Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
Bush went next and basically very milquetoast. We're under attack. We need strong leadership. We need to rebuild the military.
Yeah, same old. Jeb.
Very boring.
Mm-hmm.
Rubio, my childhood, of course. And then he had a pretty good Obama slam. He was saying that there are some people, specifically in the other party, who want our country to look like other countries. And we have one of them as president right now. But I want our country to look like American values. And I'm tired of being called, and I'm tired of other people that support me and our party being called bigots for upholding traditional values.
Mm-hmm.
So... bigot. I'll just say it.
He said it. You don't have to.
Cruz.
I'll keep calling you a bigot when you say bigoted things, by the way.
Exactly. I'm sorry that hurts your feels.
Yeah. Sorry it hurts your fifis.
Doesn't bother me at all.
No.
Cruz really wanted to point out that this weird thing they keep saying that Obama won't call the threat what it is. It's not extremism. It's a fight against radical Islamic
jihadists.
Yeah,
that's just very inward red meat.
Yeah.
Like, I think Obama finally has started using that term anyway, but who fucking cares?
We all know what we're talking about.
In a general electorate, and nobody's going to parse words.
And by the way, it's not just radical Islamic extremism. It's also radical Christian extremism. So, I mean, we had another terrorist attack at a Planned Parenthood, and that was not Islamic extremism.
You thought they were going to bring that up tonight, and nobody did.
Nobody said a goddamn word.
Uh-uh.
So I think the reason Obama doesn't say specifically Islamic extremism is because it's not the only form of terrorism we're fighting.
I didn't even think of that till now. They didn't even bring up the Colorado Spring
Not
shooting.
Once. Mm. Not a thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know they will in the Democratic debate.
Yep. I hope so. Mm-hmm. They better.
And people in this state sure care about it.
Yeah.
Swing state.
Yeah. Like a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. And then Carson was totally a pandering piece of shit and said... I'd like to have a moment of silence for the victims of San Bernardino.
Yeah, you know,
I hate to be that
cynical, but it was such obvious pandering.
You get 30 seconds and you're going to take 3 of them to remember the victims of these attacks.
No, no, or
like,
if you really meant it, what you would do is talk to Priebus or the moderators beforehand and have that like a thing they do. But
or don't
instead
talk
you
them.
Blindside everybody with it. It's like, see, I'm the only one that wanted to do
exactly.
that
because
I'm the most Christian.
Or if you want to have a moment of silence, good. Give up your opener. I don't want to hear anything from you for your whole 30 seconds. We'll just use it as a moment of silence.
Right.
Shut up. Yes. But he didn't. He used about 2.5 seconds of
it. So it was obvious pandering.
Yeah. Yeah. And then he talked about, you know, same kind of thing, at war with radical Islamic jihadists, used some neurosurgery metaphors, and then talked about,
yeah,
which was his theme pretty much the whole night, was that PC culture in America is the problem.
Yeah, that's the
for
same old
everything.
Routine. PC culture is
everything.
At the root of all evil.
Literally, yeah, even exactly. ISIS.
Even ISIS. So, especially ISIS.
Yeah. So, that was the openers.
Okay.
Then it went to, why was Bush mean to Trump about Muslims? That was the question to...
Isn't that one the big thumbs up to CNN.com, where they totally crapped out.
Yeah.
And
the server crashed.
The server crashed, and we couldn't see the stream for about 5 or 10 minutes. So I think we actually missed
mm-hmm.
most of that.
Mm-hmm.
So if anybody can fill us in about the shit show between Jeb and Trump early on, we only caught bits and pieces. So I'm not really sure.
I'm not either. We came back with sort of Trump saying Bush is a joke, and I, you know, it's just their banter pretty much throughout the night.
So if there were any good haymakers or interesting things said, we missed it, although there probably weren't.
Yeah, no. And if there were, I'm sure it'll be on the news. But if you have a fun story, reach out. Then we talked about refugees for a little while.
Well, they kept sort of bouncing back and forth to refugees. But
yeah, and a lot of the candidates brought it back to refugees, even though that was not the question that was asked.
Yeah. Well, they're all pretty much solidarity. They don't want any Syrian refugees coming in because one of them could be a terrorist.
Yes. Yes. Which, that's assuming that there are...
And they all repeated the lie that there's no vetting process whatsoever.
Right.
Yeah.
Chris Christie particularly kept bringing up some FBI, former FBI guy who... maybe he's the current director. I didn't hear this news story, so I don't know exactly what he's referring to, but he said that he testified before Congress that he could not properly vet Syrian refugees.
Yeah, I'm not sure what exactly he was referring to.
I don't know either. I'm sure
it
wasn't
he was twisting something that has nothing to do with what he was actually saying.
I agree. Because we talked about this last podcast.
There is a very thorough vetting process. If you don't like it, then you can say that, or if you want to change it, you can say that. But to keep repeating the lie that there's no vetting process, as in a Syrian refugee says, I want to come to the United States, and they just come right in, is 100%
good.
Absolutely false.
Right.
It couldn't be more false.
And, you know, if we bring 10,000 in, but there's only one bad one, then we're really fucked. And it's like, well, that's assuming there's no bad people in the United States right now.
Right, exactly.
There's no violence in the U.S.
Out of the 300 million in the United States.
We have no bad people. If we let in any refugees, there might be one bad person let into our utopia.
The terror is much more terrifying when it's a brown person who's committing the terror.
Right.
Which, by the way, nobody brought up, and the moderators didn't bring up that that the Congress just voted down people on the terror watch list not being able to buy guns. The Republicans and the NRA made sure they still can buy guns.
Right. So you can't fly on a plane, but you can buy all the guns and ammo you want.
Because we're so worried about protecting your children from terrorism.
Right.
Nobody brought that up.
Nobody brought a lot of stuff. Because CNN is the worst.
They really are.
They're the worst.
I think, because you know what? Fox would have even asked that.
Yeah.
I
mean, at least Fox and MSNBC are clear about what sort of political side they take.
Yeah.
CNN tries to be the NPR of television.
To their credit,
asked
in that first debate, asked some tough questions to sort of parse out the candidates' opinions.
Yep. And also because they like the dog whistle. They know that if they ask about brown people and the candidates answer honestly, that's going to stoke the base.
Right.
CNN sort of, I don't know, parades around as though they're this like great news source that's really in the middle and doesn't take sides, and they're the worst.
So then why was Hugh Hewitt the other moderator?
Right. And then Dana Bash, which like she's the somewhat great liberal bastion. No.
No. And
she's just
certainly
a pretty
not good old Wolf Blitzkrieg either.
Oh my God. And Ben Carson kept calling him Woof.
Woof.
Hey Woof. Yeah. So they pretty much, that's exactly right. Nobody wants refugees. Some people think we should just suspend all refugees, from everywhere.
Because why not?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because they're all brown and icky.
Right. Others decided, so Cruz's thing is we're going to suspend, we'll talk about this. We're going to suspend refugees for 3 years from countries where ISIS or Al-Qaeda has major control of any territory.
Yeah, that really pissed me off.
So,
And his former whatever was sort of spinning that beforehand, that he was going to talk about that. She kind of gave the heads up.
Yeah.
But let's examine the logic of that. On the surface, it sounds reasonable. But then those territories are exactly where the refugees in question need the most help and are the most susceptible to being recruited into ISIS and are being the most terrorized.
Right. They are fleeing ISIS.
Yeah. So Ted Cruz is basically saying, the people that are being most terrorized by ISIS are the exact people that we're going to slam the door on.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, if you're good with that logic, fine. But
it's amoral, cruel, and stupid, but sure.
Yeah, and it works against, you know, the very fight that we're trying to work on here.
Yeah.
And I guess the assumption is, and they couldn't even really articulate this, is look, this is what's happening, is while these refugees flee, they're going to send in a few people posing as refugees who are really terrorists who are going to blow stuff up. And, you know, that not necessarily so far-fetched an idea, except for the fact we have a vetting process
yes.
to try to screen that out.
Correct. And, you know, yeah, it's possible that that could happen. It's possible. It's also possible under a million other scenarios that someone who wants to hurt the United States gets in from a number of different methods, right?
Yeah.
We can't, it's an illusion like we were talking about the other day. It's an illusion of safety and security. We can't 100% guarantee ever the safety and security of all of our citizens.
I'm amazed nobody brought up September 11th because they were all Saudis and the Saudis are our allies.
Yep.
So.
And the San Bernardino attacks. One was an American citizen.
Per Ted Cruz's logic, all the Saudis could still come in that they want and they're no threat to anybody.
Right. But
okay,
they blew up the Twin Towers, which everyone wanted to talk about ad nauseum, particularly Chris Christie.
Yeah, yeah.
But they didn't talk about that, of course.
But stop the Syrians, and it just sort of makes me wonder now. What is? I don't know what the big fascination is with all of a sudden really slamming the door the hardest on the Syrian refugees. I guess they're still riding that one thing that they may have found a Syrian passport on one of the French terrorists.
And remember the little bit of the kids' table debate, we saw Santorum saying that his guest tonight at the debate was this sheriff from some border town who claims that he uncovered a Syrian citizen, I guess, crossing the border.
And therefore that guy must be a terrorist?
I guess, yeah.
Okay.
Because there's a direct line from Syria to Mexico. I don't really know how that works, but I don't think that's been confirmed, by the way. And maybe even if he was a Syrian citizen, that makes him a terrorist. But anyway, the other thing that I was going to say is the San Bernardino attacks. The husband was a U.S. citizen.
Born in
the United States, and the wife was on a K-1 visa, which is a fiancé visa. Yeah, and
they kept conflating her with Syrian refugees.
With refugees. She wasn't a fucking refugee.
No.
She was on a K-1 visa.
Now, look, if they all want to pontificate and say, hey, we better look at this K-1 visa process, you know what? Fine. That's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair. But that's not what they were saying.
It's also
They kept turning it around to refugees, in particular the Syrian refugees.
And we just kept yelling at the television. They kept saying, she wasn't a refugee.
Look at San Bernardino. Look at that guy's wife.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, she was not from Syria. She was not a refugee. She was not an immigrant. She was none of these things that you're pontificating about. But but their electorate is too stupid to know the difference.
Exactly.
So that's what you get.
Exactly.
It was weird about tonight's debate, because the reason it pissed me off so much is that if it just would have descended into total madness and chaos and just a lot of red meat, gross right-wingery, you know, the whole time, like, in a sense, that would have been, I don't want to say entertaining, but more something.
Honest,
maybe. But instead, you had some moments of semi-lucidity where there was actually some good substantive debate about certain aspects of certain things. And it was like, okay, this is a real debate. And I don't want to say props, but Ted Cruz at one point actually brought up a few reasonable points in terms of American foreign policy and toppling dictators like Assad and Gaddafi and what have you. And it was a decent debate that was going back and forth. But then it was interspersed with a bunch of nonsense and bullshit and lies and dog whistles and talking points and everything else. So it's like they almost forgot, like, oh my God, we're having an actual substantive debate about issues here. We better get back to our bullshit script.
Yeah, they really did do their homework on some certain issues. In particular, one of the first kind of big debates that they got into was about the vote that they had about the collecting of metadata by the NSA and then all of that.
But then it got into like a really sort of technical wonky pissing debate about a certain bill.
Yeah, between Cruz, Rubio, and Paul.
And Rubio said that we should keep collecting the metadata. Because it was interesting because not only was Rand Paul leading that charge, but like almost all of the Republicans were really like slamming Obama on this whole metadata thing. I think in the wake of Snowden, I think for a while that like the Republicans were actually kind of like, yeah, you see, we're being spied on too much, and because Obama wants to spy on us to take our guns, I guess at the time was the idea or something. But no, seriously.
Yeah.
And then so like it was a lot of conservatives that were super pissed off about all the metadata, And the, like, even the Fox people were going off about it. And now it's sort of turned around like, oh, well, we need that metadata because Muslims are... And that that was Rubio's angle.
It is. And there were some really three distinct opinions about it. I was surprised any of them knew the words metadata. Like, they legitimately probably had someone come in and go,
Rubio actually showed up for a bill. Okay.
Yeah, this is what's actually going on, and here's the position that you should take, or whatever. They have their own position.
It was an actual debate.
It was. It was crazy. So Cruz's position was he voted with this Authorization Act to not allow the NSA to collect metadata anymore,
which passed. Which at the time was because fuck you, Obama, because you want to take our guns or whatever.
Right.
But his spin was now it's more focused and better finds terrorists.
The second part of it is strengthened because they're like, we only used to be able to look at landlines and now we can look at internet phones and cell phones.
I didn't think his spin was particularly
nonsense. We could always look at everything before.
I didn't think Cruz's spin was particularly good or helpful on that.
And then Paul, Rubio is legit, just like, we should monitor everything all the time and fuck the Fourth Amendment.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
We don't need it. No. Security is more important. Mm-hmm. He's gone all in on that. Yeah. And then Paul is the exact opposite of Rubio.
Which that's always been Paul's shtick.
He's
more or less sticking to his guns.
That was interesting, at least. There was definitely a pissing match between Cruz and Rubio and
That. You could see that, especially Cruz and Rubio were kind of like, okay, it's our turn. It's our turn to spar. We better do this.
And then what did Carson say about this?
Carson had the worst answer I've ever heard. It really looked like, you know, in after the first debate, the bad lip reading did this really great thing where Ben Carson wasn't even paying attention and he was like doing a puzzle.
Yeah.
And I think life imitated art tonight.
Totally.
Because when they went to Carson, I really don't think he was paying attention. I think he was looking at his notes or thinking about something else because he was kind of like, I'm not going to get in the middle of their argument. I have no opinion.
Just let them fight it out. I really have nothing to say.
No, but you sounded much more assured of when you just said
that's
it.
That's true.
That he did. Like, it sounded like he just really had to think of something to say because he just got called on in class, you know, and was, you know, thinking about Star Wars.
Or something. Yeah. Totally.
Yeah, which, you know, I can relate. I've been there. But I'm not running for president.
Yes. And then, so then this whole thing bled into Trump is going to do something with the internet. He's going to penetrate it. And then he's going
to,
using
dirty.
His good people, he's going to close it down.
Yeah. See, Trump said, it's one of part of his appeals. He speaks off the cuff and just says whatever shit pops into his head.
Is that appealing?
So he said something about shutting down the internet, like, you know, where Ted Stevens used to say it was a series of tubes. he doesn't really understand how the internet works.
Right,
he knows
right.
That's where he sees his porn and where his wife buys shoes off of, and that's about
mm-hmm,
it.
Mm-hmm.
And so they tried to, you know, call him out and say, what do you mean? And he clearly doesn't know what he means because he just said a lot of vague bullshit about the good people and the penetrating and something.
Penetrate the internet on their side. Their internet. I'm sorry.
And then Kasich remembered that he knew the word encryption and yelled that about 80 times.
I really wish
Dana was on this podcast.
Well,
because when they got into the technical stuff, these guys do not know what they're talking about.
So I had a phone call with him about the Trump thing because I was like, can you please explain to me what the fuck he's talking about? And Dana's like, if he knew words and could put them together to form sentences, I think what he meant was that we would try to limit the IT connections from other countries from accessing
for certain websites.
He's like, that's not how the internet works.
No, it's not. It's not.
But he thinks that somehow he can either go into these countries and shut down certain access points or through our country shut down certain access points, which he said at this point is not possible, but then it's
you can't.
I'll find the good people to learn the things to do the good things with the internet penetrating and closing. So that was confusing for everybody, I think.
Like, you could maybe do that if the Assad government maybe agreed,
but why would they do that? I mean, they don't like ISIS, I guess, but
there's other ways they could do that. It's like ISIS can have their own social networking site and find a way
to
recruit
people.
Well,
Dana was saying like proxies and others like servers and things. Like, there's no way that it would actually ever work.
I could get around that in 5 minutes, and I'm not an expert by any means.
Exactly.
So
yeah.
Trump clearly doesn't know what he's talking about. And then Kasich kind of burst in and said, the problem is encryption. It's encryption.
We can't read phone things.
Encryption.
It's very terrible encryption.
And it's like, I'm sure Uncle Lou and Aunt Sally at home are big Trump supporters, just don't even know what the fuck
you're
talking
about.
And
they went, oh my God,
about.
What is this encryption thing? We should look into this. This is very terrifying. Yeah. Okay, so next we're talking about Cruz's ridiculous comment. They asked him specifically about how he said we're going to bomb them, and them, I think he didn't
until the sand
who,
glows in
until
the dark
we can
or something.
Figure out if the sand can glow.
Right.
And they called him out on that and just said, like, are you advocating for the bombing of the capital of Syria, which is a city of, I don't remember how many hundred thousands of people, but
millions.
Yeah. And he said, no, we're going to do a carpet bomb and we're going to saturate
but just
the city
just
with
the bad
bomb,
guys,
but just
the
ISIS bad
guys.
Then we'll send in troops to do cleanup.
Of course,
just like
of
we
course
did
that's
Iraq.
that's assuming that many of the viewers are too stupid to understand that the whole idea is what happens when ISIS claims territory is that there's a shit ton of civilians that are stuck there.
Yeah. And they don't so let you leave because they know that if you leave, then they'll get bombed. And right. They don't want to bomb civilians. Not that the Assad government isn't already bombing civilians with right. the barrel bombs. But
it's not like ISIS is controlling this territory and it's just a bunch of ISIS guys running around yelling jihad and shooting into the sky.
They make the civilians stay for cover.
They're occupying huge swaths of lands with tons of poor civilians that are
yes.
caught in this shitstorm
yes.
of ISIS horror and Assad bombing and U.S. bombing and Russian bombing, and that's why they're all fleeing and wanting to get the fuck out.
Right.
And then the same Ted Cruz is like, who says let's bomb the shit out of them, wants to slam the door in their face. So
exactly. So man, he's a, yeah. you know, yeah. And then he talked about, again, there's somehow that leads into political correctness culture because we can't just say that we'll kill them, but it makes no sense. And then we got real bogged down in the Republicans' lack of understanding the difference between Iran, Syria, Sunni, Shia, ISIS.
Is that when Christie went off the rails? That was later,
I mean,
right?
Yeah, a little bit later. But well, so Rubio was talking about, I mean, he was right that ISIS is a radical Sunni group.
Mm-hmm.
Which
Christie forgot, apparently, or doesn't know.
Yeah, we'll get to that. Yeah, we'll get to that. Yeah, so it's a radical Sunni group, and that Cruz's airstrikes aren't going to work. We need boots on the ground. And then he went into how Obama just has cut all the budget, and then we have basically no military left.
We have no army.
Yeah. We have no Air Force.
We have one guy with a cap gun.
And then he hit Cruz for voting against the Defense Authorization Act.
Yeah, they lost me a little bit there.
Yeah, yeah. Which he did because he's a Tea Party crazy person.
Right, right.
And then he tried to spin that a little bit and it didn't really work. And then basically Rubio, he's going all in on this neocon stuff. He said basically that if you join ISIS and you're a U.S. citizen that you...
Oh, you have no due process.
Yeah,
yeah.
yeah. yeah.
Or no, but see, you'll be accused of having joined ISIS.
Right.
And so the whole point of like not having due process is you'll get interrogated and tortured because we think you might... But you're a U.S. citizen. But now Marco Rubio basically says in Marco Rubio's dystopia, if my neighbor says, I think this guy has something to do with ISIS, they can drag me away, waterboard me, electrocute my nuts, whatever. Doesn't matter. I have no rights, even though I'm a U.S. citizen because ISIS.
And they can execute you technically, especially yeah. if you're not on American soil, which we've already done.
So that's what Rubio's advocating for.
Again,
so.
Obama's not my boyfriend on that issue either because we've done that. We've killed enemy combatants that were U.S. citizens on foreign mm-hmm. soil without due process. But
yeah.
Rubio is all about that. That should definitely
yep,
happen.
He's all about it.
If you join ISIS, you are not a U.S. citizen anymore. You're an enemy combatant. Well, now, we don't know if you joined it or not because you didn't get to go to court and
right,
provide
exactly.
the defense
we could,
of yourself.
We couldn't prove that. We're just saying, like, if we know, because, you
if
know,
we
we'll
know
because
ah,
we always know.
We'll know. There's no process we should go through to, like, make sure.
No. We'll just
no,
know.
We'll just
and,
know.
And then and you have no due process, no habeas corpus.
No, none of
no,
that.
No Miranda rights.
We'll just know.
We'll just know.
It's like love, you know? Yeah. We just know. Yeah, so that was ridiculous. Oh, God. Then Trump. So this was a CNN Facebook debate. And I guess Trump had been quoted as saying that he would kill the family members of people who were in ISIS.
Mm-hmm.
And this person was like, that's sort of like death by affiliation, which is not something that we do.
It's not very American.
It's not American. It's not one of our values.
It's very Stalin-esque.
Yeah.
It's very Saddam Hussein-esque.
Yeah.
It's very Al Capone-esque.
Yeah. It's yeah. not very like, you know, U.S.
American
government
mom,
president
apple pie, beacon
kind
of freedom.
Thing.
No.
You know.
Not really.
Not super presidential.
No.
And he didn't say, no, I didn't mean that. Of course, because Trump said it, he's going to defend it.
No, he just said, look, we got to be strong or
yeah.
something.
Yeah, we got to be strong.
We got to be tough and strong
and
something.
Yeah, and I mean, we talked about this earlier too, but like, I'm going to hand over my family member who's in ISIS so that you can kill me because I'm in ISIS. So that's what the point right, that right, point. Right. And then Jeb came out and said, this person is not a serious candidate.
Yeah.
You can't say something like that and be seriously
and this is why Bush considered. And this is why Bush is a terrible candidate, because Bush said that, which right on, good job. And then it's like he had nothing after that. He just started stammering and stuttering.
And then they were just like in a catfight about who's interrupting who and who's rude about interrupting, and it was nothing substantial.
And then Trump got in some zingers at Bush, oh, this isn't going to help you with your energy problem.
And you can't insult your way to the presidency.
But the whole point is, like, Bush had an opening. He came in and he said, okay, this person's effing crazy. This is not a serious candidate.
And then tell me substantively why.
And then follow up with, here's why I'm good. And then he just kind of stammered and blah, 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 blah.
Got into a catfight.
And this is why he's losing. This is he's getting slaughtered.
Well, at that point, you looked at me and you just said, he's such a bad candidate.
He's awful.
And I was like, yeah, it's exactly right.
Well, let me give you a little background on Jeb Bush. Okay. I'm from Miami, and Jeb Bush lived in an area of suburban Miami called Pinecrest, and I was friends, very close friends, with some people who were very close with the Bush family and Jeb Bush.
Who was the governor of Florida?
Was the governor? Well, before he was the governor of Florida, he was a business guy and sort of like he was friends with all kinds of developers and rich people and whatever.
Sure,
big shot.
Yeah,
in Miami, and I actually went to kindergarten with his kid. With George III.
With the Secret Service, you said, right?
With the Secret Service, that's right. I was 4 or 5 and barely remember, but there's that. And so Jeb actually spoke at my sister's high school graduation in 1996, 1997, something like that.
Yeah.
And I remember it vividly, and if you would have been there, this was not a guy who seemed to have any desire to get into serious national politics at any level. Like governor, I could see maybe, but this was a guy who spoke about the virtues of being like rich and lazy. And no, I'm not shitting you, and maybe my sister remembers this speech too, but like it was just it was a guy who was just like, fuck it, don't work too hard, it's good to be rich and take a lot of naps. Like he literally said that. And and it was like, and
was
now,
he talking to rich kids, though?
He was talking to rich kids, but he came across as very sincere.
Yeah.
Like
To clarify, Travis didn't grow up as a rich kid. His parents worked as teachers.
Yeah, my dad was a teacher at a rich school, so we got to go to a rich school, but we were the poor teacher's kids.
Right.
It was great because I got to go out on boats and spend the weekend at my friend's mansions, and it had its perks, but I'd go home to my shitty one-bedroom apartment and whatever.
Yeah.
But it was like, when I heard Jeb's going to run for president, I'm like, no, he's not. He has no desire to do this. And he looks like a guy who has no desire to do this.
Even up on the stage, he just looks like sort of like uncomfortable and anxious and
not interested,
deflated, and just kind of
it's
like why
am I
doing this?
He's doing his part to hold up the family legacy and try to save what's left of the orthodoxy of the party. But like, his heart does not seem in it, and he's just not a good candidate.
No. I mean, he's worse than Romney. Romney.
Oh, he's way worse than
at
Romney.
At least was like milquetoast, but he had like a
he had an
confidence.
Energy to him. Yeah.
Yeah.
He had
seems
a certain
like he wanted it.
Something.
He did want it. You could tell.
Yeah, he wanted it. And he was a decent governor for a Republican in Massachusetts.
Yeah, until he disavowed all of the good work he did.
Well, he had to because he's running for president.
But yeah, no, I agree.
He invented Obamacare, then he had to run against it.
Yeah, which was so fun for me. But I agree. Jeb just really looked like, what am I doing up here? Like he was like questioning philosophically.
Yeah, and
his
if you know,
goals.
And if you go back and know him from South Florida, it makes sense. He never struck you as a guy who wanted or was interested to be president. Now, a lot of people said the same thing about W, but then W had a pretty massive ego. And I don't think Jeb has that kind of ego. I think Jeb's a rich asshole, but I think he's a rich asshole who would just rather.
Do you know the family order? G Dub's older?
Yeah.
And then is there any younger siblings? Do you know?
Neil, I think, is older. Neil Bush is older.
So is Jeb the baby?
I think Jeb's the baby, yeah.
Yeah. It makes sense. Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, that makes sense to me. Yep. Okay. Okay. So then Carson got real nuts. And to full disclosure, we had a few tough technical difficulties during this section.
Again, we had technical difficulties?
Yeah. When they were asking Carson about how he was
a neurosurgeon for children.
Yeah. And the question was,
Hewitt asked some stupid ass question.
Some question about it. Because you have like taken the thing of do no harm and you help children.
How do you feel about killing millions of...
Yeah, would you be able to drop a bomb that would kill millions of children?
And he said, sure.
Basically, like, we didn't get the first half of his answer, but we got the second half, in which he literally, and I'm not kidding here, said, it's actually merciful to do so, because it's better to have a quick death than death by a thousand...
Cuts. Which I don't know what he meant.
And like he's like, I wouldn't necessarily, I don't know what that means either. And he's like, I wouldn't call myself ruthless, but tough. Yes, absolutely.
Maybe
and
he's like a serial killer.
I would not be surprised. So that was a crazy thing
yeah,
to say.
That was very weird. I didn't understand where he was going. Ben Carson's such an awful candidate.
Yeah, he is.
He really just... Yeah.
It's like they practiced his voice for the opener because he sounded like... Okay, that's a normal person speaking. And then he just lost it.
Yeah,
like
he couldn't hold his attention and focus. Yeah, he went back to his old sleepy-eyed, sedated weirdness.
He's so bizarre.
Yeah.
Okay. And then they really tried to, well, Rand Paul was asked a question, and he really tried to pivot to whether or not we should be taking down dictators in the Middle East.
Yeah, yeah. And this is where I actually, I don't want to say enjoyed, but it was like, oh, we have a real substantive, interesting debate here. Because I just on Arliss's show the other day, I was talking about how, you know, we're talking about defeating ISIS, but nobody's talking about the actual problem of American foreign policy.
Right.
And what we do, we either prop up these dictators or we overthrow them with no good plan in place, and then we create these power vacuums where the ISIS and Al-Qaeda's and what have you take over.
Right.
And I'll be damned, Ted Cruz actually made a compelling argument for exactly what I said.
Right.
Now, he spun it in a weird way that it's all Obama's fault or something, or Hillary's fault. But it was an actual strong repudiation of Bush, Cheney, Wolfowitz, neocon.
Yeah.
Bullshit nation building, whatever.
Yeah.
What Cruz said, and he didn't say it in the best way, but he kind of said, look, like, we know Assad and Gaddafi, and I don't even know if he mentioned Saddam, but he, you know, you can certainly lump him in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're bad guys, but we got to think about if we're going to invest all this in toppling these guys and the power vacuum it creates for ISIS and Al-Qaeda to take over. And I said, holy shit, and Ted Cruz is making a good, interesting, valid point.
Yeah.
But then he kind of spun it to go a little further and say, well, he mentioned Mubarak, and he said, well, he's actually a strong U.S. ally. And he's like, okay, let's not go too far.
Assad and Mubarak are not allies of the United States. And just to give a little bit of background, in case anyone's a little confused by what we're talking about. So, like, to give the example of Iraq, mm-hmm. right? Saddam Hussein, asshole. Mass murdering fuckhead, don't like the guy at all.
Kept everybody in line.
Everybody was afraid of him, and he had total control over the country, the military, the police force.
And he was a Sunni. He had no love for the Shias, but he made sure they didn't bomb the shit out of each other.
Yep.
He said, look, if anybody's going to bomb anybody, it's going to be
it's
me, motherfucker.
Be me, exactly. And he refrained from doing too much
well,
of that.
Well, he did gas the Kurds.
He did, again, mass murdering fuckhead. I hate the guy. I'm glad he's dead. However...
He kept all the sectarians in that country and in the region to
a
larger part
from
getting in each other's throat.
Iran was not as large of a power as it is now because he's not there anymore.
He kept them in line.
Exactly.
With the help of you at the U.S.
Exactly. So taking him out was a very good thing for a lot of reasons. However, it totally destabilized not only the country but the region, and a lot of the problems that we're seeing now, mm-hmm. you know, 15 years later, or
well,
you know,
we had this weird
later,
ass backward idea that everybody in that region was suddenly the Saddam was the big problem, and everybody's going to forget about their sectarian differences and embrace Jeffersonian democracy. And
if we just gave him a chance to vote, no, it doesn't work that way. And two, who was it? Kasich was saying at one point about Iraq that, you know, there's the Sunnis, the Shiites, and the Kurds. Shouldn't be one country. It
no,
should
it
be
was
three.
The Western powers made this bullshit country.
Colonialization and exactly.
And I can't believe Kasich said that. And you know,
yeah, power to him because he's exactly 100% right. But you can't just take out somebody like Saddam and go, just vote, and they'll go, oh, good,
look, here's
we can all agree. Like,
here's
no.
the problem with that whole period of time. I found it interesting. I'm like, I'm so glad that somebody's actually having this debate. But the GOP primary voters, they don't want to hear any of this.
Yeah.
They don't know any of this. None of this matters to them. All the brown people over there are our enemies.
They're all the same. Yeah.
And I think they were wasting their breath trying to be more nuanced about this.
Right.
In a general election debate, sure. But Do you think, I mean, I'm not, I don't want to narrowcast. I'm sure there are conservatives who understand history and foreign policy and more interested in this, but the drooling mouth breathing, Trump supporters, eyes were just glazing over at this point. Just say, what are you talking about? Bomb them all. Damn it. That's what I want to hear.
Right. Exactly.
And so I don't think I was wondering why they even bothered.
I don't know. Again, maybe there's some push to try to look electable in the general.
Separate themselves from Trump and actually sound like they know what they're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, I don't know if it's going to help them. It's like they're all trying to put the genie back in the bottle, and I think it's too late.
I do too. But yeah, it was a really interesting discussion, which I don't know. I thought it was interesting that they got into it.
But it was Rubio who really kind of pushed back on Cruz and, well, what did Rubio say?
Yeah.
That toppling the dictators, like we should do that or sometimes or something. Or...
So obviously Ron Paul was talking about, he was really sort of against the neoconservatives and talking about exactly what we were just saying, that regime change, us coming in, taking
which
out
Paul
these people
has always advocated for
is
so
not
he's stuck to
good.
His guns.
Yeah, because it gives space for instability and terrorism.
That's correct.
Cruz just went rogue and started yelling and at Wolf Blitzer at that point because he wasn't getting his thing. Trump said Assad, which is the dictator, I guess we'll call him, of Syria.
Yeah, yeah, he's dictator.
Is a bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
But we shouldn't be helping the rebels because they are ISIS, which is like saying... So we have Assad and the army. We have the rebels who are against Assad, and then we have ISIS, and everybody's against ISIS, right? So saying that the rebels are ISIS is insane.
Well, this is where they sort of went off the rails and remembered who they were talking to. And so Trump picked up that talking point, and then everyone was like, moderates, there are no moderates. And so they kind of were contradicting themselves, saying because half the time they're yelling at Obama because, especially like McCain and Lindsey Graham types, that we should be arming everybody who opposes Assad because Assad's a bad guy.
Right.
And it turns out some of them were people that were either affiliated with ISIS or Al-Qaeda or extreme groups.
Sure.
And on the other hand, there are some, I don't know if any of them are necessarily moderate, but like certainly some of them aren't necessarily ISIS. But it was like Trump is the only one that kind of gets a handle on exactly who he's talking to.
Yeah.
So he kind of says like, oh no, it's Assad's a bad guy and everybody else is ISIS. And it's like, that's easy for, you know, Uncle Lou and Dubuque to understand, even
right.
if it's complete bullshit.
Right. And for our listeners, I would say that there's a recent Frontline that was just put out, about Assad Syria,
mm-hmm.
and it doesn't cover a lot of the things I want it to cover because the Frontline went into Syria with the permission of the
Assad
regime,
government, right? Which means you saw what they wanted you to see,
right? And some other things too. But I think it's a really good explanation of kind of what's going on and shows a lot of the carnage and talks realistically, not with anybody from the regime about what's really going on, but it gives their perspective certainly, and then it does do a really good job of sort of explaining. So I would recommend that Frontline.
Yeah, the problem with American foreign policy is we're always trying to play both sides of this, right?
Yeah,
we're screaming and shouting and arming Assad's people who are opposing Assad, but these are armed rebels. So imagine for a second if the Bush administration, they were armed rebels trying to take out the Bush administration. How? You know, they would probably be just as brutal.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy wants to stay. I'm not saying it's okay that he nerve gassed a bunch of civilians. He's, you know, he's a horrible, awful dictator.
Yeah.
Like, and so many are in that part of the world.
I mean.
But it's like, but then at the same time, now we're kind of saying like, oh, well, you know, you can help us oppose ISIS. And then like he was helping us against Saddam before.
Mm-hmm.
So.
I guess.
We try to play all sides in American foreign policy and then shit
goes
wrong.
It's like when, you know, there was the war in Afghanistan with Russia.
Uh-huh.
And so we armed.
Yeah. Guess who we were arming?
Osama bin Laden.
Because
Mujahideen, they were against the Russians.
They were against the Soviets.
And then
and guess
that
what?
Turned out.
They were as fundamental Islam extremists as you could want. They just happened to be more interested in killing Russians than killing Americans at the time.
At the moment.
So we trained them and armed them to the hilt.
Yep.
And then when they were kind of like, ooh, I don't like all these Americans in our holy lands in Saudi Arabia and we need to kick them out. We're like, hey, come on, you're our buddy, right? No.
And we specifically 9/11. Armed them with the things that shoot down helicopters that I can't remember the name of.
Surface-to-air missiles.
Surface-to-air missiles.
Yeah. And which RPGs, yeah.
Yeah, which is what they're now, you know, killing U.S. troops with in Afghanistan and Iraq.
People don't
really
want to hear
great.
That. Like, when
it's
that
really
stuff
nice.
Is brought up, like, it gets shouted down. Like the Hannitys of the world
care,
say,
it's
like, it's
truth.
Not true or something, or...
There's video of it, man. It's true. I swear to God.
No. That picture of Donald Rumsfeld shaking hands with Saddam Hussein because we were arming him against Ayatollah Khomeini, that was photoshopped.
Right. Oh,
we never
it?
Liked Saddam.
Oh, yeah.
No, he was always a bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
Assad was always a bad guy.
Right.
We never liked Osama bin Laden. He was always a bad guy.
Yeah, we didn't arm them.
Or it was Jimmy Carter's fault.
I mean, swear to God. Anyway, sorry for the history lesson. We'll get back to the debate. But I just wanted everybody to be clear on what's going on. So then Christie comes in with Iran deal.
Mm-hmm.
This is what we were talking about, right?
Yeah.
He's bringing the Iran deal and he says, the Iran deal...
Yeah, forget about ISIS. This is the worst thing.
The Iran... No, the Iran deal created ISIS. That's the thing, is that Iran is backing ISIS. Okay, so let me just... Do you want to explain why that's absurd? And then I'm going to give a cute metaphor.
Okay. Some of you out there who have heard us going on and on about the Mujahideen and Osama bin Laden in Syria and Assad and sectarian violence... let's back up a hot second. Islam has two main groups. It's not necessarily that simple, but there's two main groups. There's the Sunni and the Shia. And if you're thinking like Fox News, your uncle tells you, it's like, who cares? They all hate Americans and, you know, whatever. It's like, no, think of the Protestants and the Catholics in Ireland and how they've been trying to kill each other for the last however many hundred years. Generally speaking, they really actually hate each other's guts. And so Iran, under the Ayatollah Khomeini, is Shia. ISIS is Sunni. They are not friends. They are not compatriots. They are not buddies. Do they both have enemies in the West and aren't necessarily crazy about the United States? Yeah.
Yeah.
Are they cooperating together and helping each other? No.
So
not even close.
Exactly. So like one of the primary targets of ISIS is Shia Muslims.
Yes.
They hate them so much. This is the analogy.
They would
like
to occupy and take over Iran.
Great. So Iran backing financially or in any other way ISIS would be. So this is the cute analogy I came up with the other day in the kitchen. Here's what I said. So there was a... Shia mosque in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And after the attack, there was some sort of, I guess it was Paris, after Paris, they got death threats calling them ISIS.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I said, this would be equivalent in sort of what we can understand as Americans, as if the KKK went out and lynched someone and burned a church down and put a cross in someone's yard. And you were angry about that, and so you sent death threats to a black church. All Christians.
Right?
All Christians all follow the same book. But
have wildly different interpretations
of it.
That's
the analogy, right? The KKK hate black people. They piss you off, you send death threats to the black church because they're all Christians. Exactly the same thing. So Sunnis are ISIS, essentially... And so you get mad and you send it to... Do you know what I mean?
Like, I was stunned that Chris Christie had the audacity to say that because Chris Christie's not that stupid. He really isn't. I think it slipped out of his mouth, and then Chris Christie is not the type to walk anything back, so he just kind of rolled with that.
Right.
So, he was like that,
no
that,
one corrected him.
That John Lovitz character on Saturday Night Live. So Iran is supporting ISIS. Yeah, that's the ticket.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay.
And no one said, by the way, did you just say Iran is backing ISIS? That's crazy. That's like
that,
saying.
That is makes absolutely no sense at all.
The black churches are sending money
KKK
to the KKK.
Because they're all Christians.
Because they're all Christians. It's not the same thing. It's not the same thing. So just that was insane. And literally no one called him on it. And that's nuts.
Right. Or that you know, Henry VIII and the Catholics and. The Tudors are all buddy buddies because they're all Christians. Because
they're all, it's the Bible.
It's
so,
the Bible,
you know,
so yeah.
It's fine.
Don't tell me that Protestants and Catholics hate each other. It's all
no,
Christianity.
No, it's, Ireland? It's confusing. No. Yeah, it's nuts. My next note is Rand Paul has so many fangirls. Because I swear to God, every
no,
time
I don't think he had many. I just think they were very loud. I think
every time
he got a few of his supporters, and anything he said, he could have like made fart noises or tap danced, and they would have wildly cheered no matter what he said, which was a little obnoxious.
It was, but
yeah,
you know,
yeah. So his fanboys showed up.
They did. Well, fangirls.
Some of them. We don't know if they were boys or girls just because they screamed in high-pitched voices.
That's true. That's true. And they could have been gender nonconforming as well. Sorry for my privilege.
And Rand Paul supporters? Unlikely, but possible.
I think unlikely, but you just never know. Takes all kinds.
Speaking of Runch Pubis.
Runch Pubis, as Ben Carson likes to call him. Runch Pubis. Runch Pubis. Runch Pubis.
It sounds like an awful new flavor of Doritos.
It does, doesn't it? Runch Pubis. I was talking to him the other day. It was amazing. Okay.
It's not any weirder name than Ritz Priebus.
Not really. All right.
So we've had a few glasses of wine, if in case you couldn't tell.
So, Carly Fiorina.
Carly.
Doesn't want to talk to Russia.
Doesn't want to talk to Russia because... And her rationale for this was really bizarre, too. Or her solution to get around it, or what she would do first and then... It was stupid. It made no sense. It was like the ninth grade kid on the debate team who really doesn't have a good point but said something and now has to try to back it up. That's kind of basically what she did.
Yeah, she's like, I'm not saying I won't talk to Putin. I'm saying...
No, she said she wouldn't talk to him until something.
But then she's like,
something.
But I wouldn't talk to him right now, obviously. And you're like, okay.
Maybe she's out of minutes on herself.
Yeah.
She's still on one of those old, like,
she made these
plans.
Demands. She's like, we're going to have a no-fly zone. We're going to get our Arab allies
that was a good back and forth when, again, Rand Paul had to jump in and say, you people are all fucking crazy.
Oh, my God. Right? You want to talk about that really quick? The no-fly zone thing?
Yeah. Where there's a bunch of people that sounded good, so they're talking about a no-fly zone in Syria. And then, if the Russians have to fly in our no-fly zone, we're going to shoot them down.
We're going to shoot down Russian airplanes, Russian warplanes.
What they don't want to acknowledge is Assad in Syria, whether you like him or not, Syria is still a sovereign country, and Assad invited the Russians in to be in that airspace to bomb supposedly ISIS, but also some of the other moderate opposition to Assad. But be that as it may, a lot of these people are
advocating that we go in and as the U.S., and shoot down Russian warplanes in a sovereign state who invited them in.
Yeah, you know what?
That's not going to cause World War III at all.
No, but what bothers me is it's such bullshit. They wouldn't. Nobody, not even Trump, would do that. I mean, it's just such insanity. No, they wouldn't. I mean, Trump would have enough military people and advisors who would just say, no, we're not going to do that.
And you don't get the nuclear codes. Oh, yeah. Hugh Hewitt kept calling it nuclear, which is our favorite.
Like Santa Claus conquers the Martians. That's nuclear. Well, neither could W, so maybe that was like a little...
Like a
little
shout
tribute
out?
To W.
So, this is my favorite part of the whole thing, right? We're having this whole discussion about a no-fly zone. Christie's all about it. Fiorina's about it. Everybody's about
and
it.
And Rand pointed out that Hillary has mentioned a no-fly zone. I don't know if she went as far as to say she's going to shoot down Russia jets, but she has talked about
a
no-fly
zone. What does that mean if you're not going to enforce it?
I hope they call her on it again to explain it a little better.
I hope so, too. We should ask her about that.
I'll give her a call.
Yeah, do that. Let me know what she says. So, Rand Paul is basically saying you people are nuts.
Yeah.
You need a leader with judgment. And then he said my favorite thing of the whole night. He goes, you know, the kind of leader, because Chris Christie had just spoken about how he was going to shoot down Russian planes.
And Obama is funding ISIS.
Obama was a feckless weakling. That's when he called him that.
Yeah. Because he wouldn't shoot down Russians? Well, why did he call him a feckless weakling? I just remember he called him that.
Yeah, he didn't. It wasn't anything specific. Just general foreign policy. He's a feckless weakling.
He just jumped in and said Obama's a weakling.
Feckless weakling. Yeah. And so Rand Paul came back.
That's
and he
really
was
good
like,
for Christie's image as a bully, right?
Well, if you ask some people on the other side, they're looking for the bully in chief.
You know, Christie has a lot of reparations to do after getting all smoochy with Obama after Hurricane Sandy.
Yeah.
They still haven't forgiven him for that.
Maybe calling him names on TV is helping?
Yeah,
I don't know.
I don't know.
So Paul is criticizing him. And he says, you know, the kind of leader who would shoot down a Syrian air has such a lack of judgment and sort of has such a revenge fantasy personality that he would shoot down Russian airplanes.
Did he say revenge personality?
No. That's me.
Okay.
Just
I was gonna
saying.
Say,
essentially,
I'm
that's
to, like,
what he
Rand
was.
More and more.
That's sort of what he was saying. I mean, this guy does have revenge fantasies, but that's my words, not
you
his.
Know it.
He goes, might be the kind of guy, and this is a quote, who would shut down a bridge in New Jersey.
Oh! We high-fived on that
boom.
One.
Boom.
Crowd didn't like it.
We were like hooting. It was great.
Nice.
It was great. Then Jeb and Trump had a whole thing again for a while. Jeb basically accused Trump of watching Saturday morning cartoons.
That was good. That was good. That was one of the lines, Jeb. But see, here's the problem with Jeb. Everything was so scripted that he was like a middle school drama thespian.
Yeah.
Who, like, they've memorized their lines, but, you know, they keep tripping over their lines because it's nothing is natural. It's just
right.
Like they're reading back the teleprompter in their head.
And this, when they asked him a question that I don't think he was expecting, which was, here's these positions that have been laid out on these two specific things, one being the no-fly zone and the other one uh-huh. being regime change, who do you agree with? He goes, I agree on all of it. And you're like, what does that mean?
That doesn't make any sense. They're very, very contrasting different points of view and like a substantive debate with... And it's like, that just makes no sense
at
all. You
can't agree that we should have a no-fly zone.
And not a no-fly zone.
And we should definitely not have a no-fly zone.
And we should topple Assad and not topple Assad.
We should definitely not do that, but we should totally talk to Putin, but definitely not talk to Putin. Like, what does it mean I agree with all of them? That doesn't, that's not, no. No.
He's so terrible.
He is.
He's such a bad candidate.
He's the,
oh, God.
The worst. He's the worst. And then... Trump?
I don't know if who's worse, him or Carson. I used to think Carson was worse, but I'm actually. I guess
Carson
Jeb's
is worse.
A little
Carson
better.
Is worse. At least Jeb can say things.
No,
I don't know. But I thought Trump was really off his game tonight. To be honest, I thought
he doesn't have a game. He's just bluster and nonsense and vague generalities.
But like, and like,
that's his game.
But it was a little word salad tonight. Sometimes
it's always word salad, Rachel.
But he's not the only coherent sentences he can get out are when he's attacking the press, insulting someone.
When he's got zingers,
but he has zero like. And I don't mean substantive in terms of, like, they make sense. I mean actual complete sentences that have something to do with the question that was asked.
That's why he's winning, Rachel.
Because one can understand what he's saying. He's just using word salad.
These yahoos in Iowa with their mouth open and the flies flying in and out are listening to Rubio and Cruz talking about, you know, toppling Assad and Sunnis and Shias and... And,
they're
you
like
know,
too much context.
Complex bills.
It's
and
too
then
complex.
Trump gets up there and says, good people, bad people, security, protect your children. And then the heads start nodding. Tub.
I don't understand.
I understand perfectly. Have you seen these people? This is why he's winning. Now, is he going to carry that all the way to a nomination? I don't know. But it's working for him now.
To his point, he's at like 40, and Jeb were fighting, and he's like, well, I'm at 42%, and you're at 3 last time I checked. Well, so I guess it's working, and you're like, I mean, he's not wrong.
He's not wrong at all. And look, this is why I'm thinking, like, I watched this tonight, and I saw candidates, for the most part, trying to separate themselves from Trump by... being at least more polished and knowledgeable, even if it was a lot of bullshit and lies. Whereas Trump did what he's always been doing. There wasn't anything different about Trump's performance tonight from the first three debates.
No, he just looked, I guess, because everyone else. Yeah. Yeah. Like he really just couldn't even.
But they tried that in the first debate. Frank Luntz had a bullshit focus group where he said, oh, wasn't Trump terrible tonight, guys? Because he was under orders from Rince Priebus and Fox News to try to kick him out and make Jeb the front runner. Yeah. Remember that? I remember. And Frank Luntz and all these fake focus group people, like, okay, who won the debate? Jeb, and everybody raised their hand. Trump, everybody put their hand down. It's like, oh, if you see, Trump's done now. And that was the first debate. So.
Yeah, but I don't think everybody else sounded as knowledgeable or polished in the first debate as they did tonight, which maybe is why I feel like Trump looked
maybe
shittier.
But now all of a sudden you think they want something different? Than what Trump's been giving them,
generalities
and
so now
nonsense.
What? So now Rubio and Cruz are going to go way down in the polls because they made any goddamn sense.
Maybe I don't know.
And I don't know. Let's talk about Fiorina for a minute because she, I thought, but I always think she's good in debates. I don't
think it helps her.
I don't think it's going to do anything for her in terms of her poll numbers.
She's okay.
But she's good in debates. Like
she's all right.
She's well prepared. She is.
I'll give her that.
And well spoken.
She's obviously given a lot of speeches.
Mouth don't actually mean the things you think they mean, but that's neither here nor there. She really consistently, I don't know, she sounded like she knew what she was talking about, even though she doesn't.
Yeah. Sort of. I mean, she brought back the gobbledygook about the Sixth Fleet, and everybody started going crazy that there are still B-52s in service, and I think there's very few of them in service.
Yeah.
Basically been replaced by C-130s as far
as I know. Yeah, Hugh was talking about the Triad, which is B-52s, missiles, and...
As if we're completely relying on B-52s.
Well, it feels very much like what we're talking about is the Triad from, like, the 1960s.
Well, sure, F-16s are still in service, and they're, like, 40 years old. I mean,
but I feel like we have more than three things in our arsenal now. Do you know what I mean?
Remember your audience, Rachel.
Like, yeah.
No. The picture they were trying to paint is we have nothing but 80-year-old planes.
But we're just like in the Cold War still,
and Obama slashed the military to the point where that's all we have is three old rickety B-52s.
Yeah. That was confusing, but he's old, so maybe, you know.
Oh, what was it that Trump said that was really good? He said that only 40 or 50 years ago there were no weapons. It was all hand-to-hand combat.
Yeah, hand-to-hand combat, he says. You know, so this technology is new. It's been hand-to-hand combat. And I'm like, hand-to-hand? We had...
just fist bayonets.
There was never muskets. Fist fights. Not in the Revolutionary War. No. This is all very new. It's been hand-to-hand combat up until 50 years ago when we invented muskets. And I guess we've gotten really advanced really fast since then. But
yeah.
Anyway, okay. He's on top of it. Next topic was immigration. Yeah, and this is very, like, duh. They hit Rubio hard right away. He was the first person
because he supported comprehensive immigration reform.
He did, and he wanted a path to citizenship, and he came out with this very – I looked at Travis, I swear to God, and I was like, all right, well, he's definitely being groomed by the establishment because this was – clearly an answer that they had been talking about for months.
He tried to spin his way out of it, but not completely.
Yeah, this is what he said.
No, what? Okay, go ahead.
He goes – okay, in 2013 is when they tried to pass this comprehensive immigration reform, and he supported a path to citizenship at that time. He came out tonight and said, what 2013 proved was that the U.S. citizenship, U.S. Americans, let's say, don't trust the federal government to control illegal immigration.
Okay, so why pass any bills? Why even be in Congress?
Yeah, I mean, fuck them. They don't trust us. Let's not do anything about it.
Yeah,
why run
for president?
Yeah. And so we have to first prove to them that we can control illegal immigration. And that is going to be done by a system of 20,000 more troops on the border.
Okay.
E-verify. And then if they do that and a background check. Then you get a work permit, which you have to have for a decade. So 10 years.
Right.
Then... after that, he didn't really want to talk about after that because the specific and Dana Bash was
because
like,
"We got to get to the amnesty part sometime."
Uh huh. And she's like, "Okay, so then after all that," and he's like, "Well, I'm open to it. I would say I'm open to it." She's like, "So you're saying you would support?" I would say I'm open to legalizing the people that are
amnesty,
but yeah. So he's trying to walk it back, but it's not working because when you ask him flat out, like, do you support a path to citizenship for people who are already here illegally, the answer is yes.
Because he knows he can't go to a general election and do what Romney did and say self-deportation.
Right.
He's going to have to...
say yes.
Say yes.
He just wants to say, I'm considering it and I'm open to it at this point.
Yeah, and I guess I give him credit for that because he could go all the other way and say, no, now I'm just completely against any sort of... citizenship for anybody who's ever come illegally or whatever, you know, like the rest of them are doing, basically.
But then he loses his immigrant story if he does that, right? I mean...
well, he's already sold a soul. I mean, he's running for GOP presidential candidate.
Yeah, but if he's running in the general and he gets the election, which I think he will...
Etch-a-sketch.
Then his immigrant story goes away because he's like, no, I don't support a path to citizenship, and that's it.
The
Republican Party's hope of winning the Latino vote at that point is over. Not that they're going to win it anyway, but they have this nonsensical
right. No, idea it was the best somebody like Rubio could do to straddle the line and say, okay, well, basically what he was saying was, yeah, I thought maybe about a path to citizenship, but it turns out nobody trusts Obama.
Nobody trusts us, so we just have to wait till they can trust me. And he even said,
nobody trusts the government, but when I'm president, they'll trust the government maybe.
More, because I'm an immigrant, and well, I'm not. My parents are, and my neighbors are.
It was gobbledygook. But what was Cruz's comeback to that? but other than
also crazy.
Yeah.
He invoked Reagan.
Who granted amnesty.
Granted amnesty in the 80s to illegal immigrants, which everyone just didn't, no one called him on it. He's like, no, I'm the party of Reagan. And you're like, oh, so you're for amnesty? And then he's like,
yeah, that was his first thing, was to invoke Reagan.
He invoked Reagan, and then he's like, build a wall that works and make Donald Trump pay for it. And I'm like, what?
Well, because when everybody laughs, they'll forget that he just
invoked
amnesty.
Yeah.
But see, they never talk about that. They never talk about that on Fox News. Hugh Hewitt is not going to bring up.
No, because Reagan's God.
Reagan's God, and God can do no wrong.
Right. So, no, he didn't give amnesty. He just was. We don't talk about it. Just don't talk about it. Don't worry about it. He's Reagan. So that was really interesting. And then Rubio and Cruz kind of got into a pissing match about what Cruz's record is, because he's been on record supporting more H-1B visas, more green cards, sort of making the legal immigration process easier.
Right,
and
right.
Cruz is coming back trying to be a hard ass and being like, no, I don't support any of that. I never said that. He's lying. I mean, we can just go look it up. Yeah. So, we'll
but people
do that,
don't.
But no,
especially not GOP primary voters.
Yeah, yeah, and of course CNN's not going to call either of them on it or anything like that.
Come
so,
on.
And then Ted Cruz was like, "Just look it up on TedCruz.org because he loves to do that."
Yeah,
about his immigration plan.
There's no spin there.
And then we only had two crybabies tonight about how much time they got.
Carson at first.
And then Fiorina this time.
I can see Carly doing that, but what was the point of Carson doing that? It's like, it doesn't endear you to
so
anybody,
gross.
But you're already supporters that are dwindling, I guess.
And like, you look so like,
you look like
high
crybaby.
And tired anyway that you're like, really, you're upset. You don't look upset. You don't look
like,
you want to be
here. Did people watch
here?
The like Jim Webb's one and only debate and say, there's a winning strategy.
There we go. Just talk about how you're
not
crying
getting enough
about
time.
Yeah.
And
use your time.
Use your time to cry about how you didn't get enough time.
Yeah.
It's like, just get over the fact that there's 8 or 9 people on stage. You're not, and if you're not Trump or Cruz, you're not gonna.
And as soon as you bring it up, you just look like a whiner. Yeah. You just look like, ugh.
Carly, I get it, because she can say, look, I'm being marginalized. I'm the only woman. Whatever.
Sure.
I'm the super outsider.
Right. I mean, Carson could have done that too, in terms of him being the only. He's not the only person of color, but he's the only black person. Like in the Republican Party.
No, Michael Steele is. No, I guess he's just a commentator.
Clarence Thomas, I guess. You can call him a person.
Is Alan Key still around?
I guess there's a few. They asked Jeb about the tone, about whether the tone of this sort of debate that's been going on is beneficial. I mean, it was such a weird question. Like, what's the answer to that?
And right away he said, no, it's bad. But then he didn't explain why.
No, he didn't. And he just said, here's his strategy. Coming here legally needs to be easier than illegally. He doesn't say any plan on that or what his opinion is about path to citizenship or whether anything. Just, you know what would be good is if people would just do it legally. So we should try to make that happen. And you're like, that is not addressing any of the issues that we're talking about.
But and if it was easier, then people wouldn't come in illegally, Jeb.
Right, which is his point. I guess that's his way to solve illegal immigration. Is
just make it legal?
Yeah. I guess just don't make it illegal to cross the border, and then there's no more illegal immigration. Is that the idea? I don't know. He's not specific, so like,
yeah,
I don't know.
You can glean anything from that.
I don't know.
I can't stress this enough, guys. If you haven't been paying attention to the debates, and people told you that it was going to be Hillary Jeb, and now Jeb is only getting 2%, Jeb is a terrible, awful, horrible candidate.
Seriously, even in
a candidate full of jokers and fools and Donald Trumps. Jeb stands out as being completely unprepared and unqualified. He's just awful.
Yeah. And like uncomfortable and just very like, you know, the kid that has to go up for the solo in like third grade, but he hates it. He doesn't want to do it. And everyone's making him.
His
he's
mom
the introvert.
Made him, bought him the clarinet.
And he just
that he
stands
want.
There and he freezes. Like he's doing a slightly better version of that.
Yeah.
Like not freezing, but really not doing anything to help himself
no,
in any meaningful way.
No. Yeah. It's awful. It's painful to watch.
Yeah. It is.
So what else we got? So we'll wrap it up here.
Yeah. Mostly then they just wanted to talk about like North Korea. They wanted to talk about
Kim
Jong-un.
Oh, yeah. We
Jong-un
got in North Korea for some reason. Because Kim Jong-un claims he has a hydrogen bomb, which he probably doesn't.
Right. Carly
if
was.
If he did, what is he going to do with it?
The weirdest answer I thought of the whole night, which was Kim Jong-un's bad.
Okay.
But.
Definitely got a bad haircut.
What we need to do is we need to push back on China and make them know that we're strong. Basically,
bully China.
Because if we don't bully them, they won't see us as strong.
But then she mentioned a bunch of crap we're already doing.
Yeah, and she's like, we have to do this. And we're like, we are. Like, we have to do this. We are.
Like, show how pissed off we are about the South China Sea. We did. Like, and we're doing war games with Taiwan, and they're pissed off about it, and they don't like it. And something about pushing back on cyber attacks. We are doing that.
Yeah.
And then a bunch of other shit we're already doing.
And then she's like, if we don't do that, they won't think we're strong, and then they'll become an adversary. But they are all... And then she made some weird argument about how, like, China needs us to fight North Korea, and we both looked at each other like, what the fuck is she talking about? If China was unhappy with Kim Jong-un at any point, they just slap him around a little bit, and he's like, they don't...
Yeah, they're not worried about Kim Jong-un.
No. They're not. And they are very much in control of that situation, as much as anyone could be.
Again, let me explain something about North Korea. The North Korean boogeyman comes up every now and then because and who was it? Was it Rand Paul or Ted Cruz or somebody made a really good point? It was Carson, actually. Wasn't it Carson that said that, you know, North Korea, this is important to understand that, you know, their people are starving, their economy is horrible because they're investing all their money in their military.
Yes.
Like, he was like, holy shit, Ben Carson that actually is exactly said something correct. That was right. what he didn't go on to mention is the result of that is if North Korea actually attempted to wage war on anybody, they'd have enough fuel to last maybe a week.
Yeah, no, so, they're to move completely around
their troops and tanks. And,
economically desolate. No. Yeah, absolutely.
That's they rattle their saber so hard because there's nothing behind it.
Exactly
it's,
right.
It's the toothless dog who barks his lungs out. You know, because he doesn't can't bite you.
Exactly right. You know. Yeah, exactly.
Like
exactly.
I suppose they could be suicidal and like, you know, drop a nuclear weapon somewhere in South Korea and then get annihilated in 10 minutes. But, you know, unless they're suicidal, they know they're not.
No, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So, yeah, it was really interesting. He was the only person that said anything that made any sense. Which yeah, they're very a horrible, awful threat
to their own people.
Absolutely. And it's a terrible situation. And their people literally are starving in the streets. And when they defect to South Korea. They're not a
security threat to anybody.
No. I mean, when they defect to South Korea, which some of them are able to do, it's really crazy because they don't understand. I mean, it's a terrible regime. But there's even the starving Trump thing. Point.
They go and torture their and put in prison their families.
Right. But the people that come into South Korea from North Korea are kind of like not loved by the South Korean people because they get a lot of government assistance because they really have no skill sets. They don't have jobs. They don't have any way of doing it.
They're peasants.
And when they were asked, how do you know that they're North Korean? The answer was that they're very small. Yeah. And the reason that they're very small is because the North Korean population has been malnourished for its entire life. And so the people that come over are literally like 30% smaller in height, in weight, in bone density, in every way. So small people, it's like become a different sort of...
They're starving because all the money goes into the military.
It's that bad. I mean, it's terrible over there. But it's, in terms of their threat to anything else, it's absolutely none.
No. It's none. It's ridiculous. I guess a lot of people actually did watch that horrible Red Dawn remake.
I haven't seen it yet.
I just know that the North Koreans invade the United States because of course that's possible.
Are you serious?
I talked about it on the other podcast.
I don't remember that. That's
anyway,
terrible.
I don't know why we even brought up North Korea.
Well, they did is why.
No, that's what I'm saying.
I don't know.
Leave it to Ben Carson to make the only salient point about North Korea.
Which is hilarious. But okay, so let's just talk about, because that's pretty much the only interesting part of it from that point. They did wrap-ups and nobody said anything. Who cares? What do you think? Overall, feelings about who did good, who did bad? What do you think?
I don't know. I mean, I always get this wrong. And if I get it wrong, you know, that the political punditry that does this, you know, 24/7 for a living, they seem to always get it wrong. If you're a Trump supporter, I didn't see anything tonight where you watch this and now all of a sudden you're not.
No. Agreed.
You know?
No. I mean, unless you like somebody else a little bit better. But
I mean, Cruz did a lot of interrupting and bombast and... But Cruz also said some things, if you were paying attention, that does not really go in with conservative orthodoxy. Yeah.
Same with Rubio. You know, with the
he doesn't want to call every... I mean, he doesn't want to topple the dictators we don't like, which I, in a weird way, I kind of agree with. He also...
I'm torn on that, but that's...
He's also a little more civil libertarian-ish than most conservatives. I mean, there's certain things there that are like, I don't know. I mean, yeah, he talks tough and... he slings shit at Obama, but so does everybody on that stage.
Yeah, but if you, I mean, this is not about the debate, and we'll get into this the next time we do a podcast, but looking at his record and recently some of the stuff he's been putting up in the Congress is very troubling.
Yeah, everybody hates him.
And very conservative in a way that, like, he's trying to make a loophole to take away FDA-approved drugs.
Oh, yeah. Well, we haven't even gotten to any of that yet. But about all the massive deregulation he wants. He wants to kill the EPA and the FDA.
In a way that would allow Congress to basically take away reproductive rights without having to go through the courts. But anyway, he's a terrifying man. But he did okay. I think he did great in terms of...
appealing to primary voters?
No. No. I think people who like Bush like Rubio now.
Rubio,
and I mean George W. Bush, not Jeb Bush.
Rubio seemed the best prepared.
He rode that neocon line of like everything for your security, and I don't care about your privacy, and we'll fuck your privacy. We'll take everything, and we will bomb everybody, and we don't care about human rights. We don't care about due process. We don't care about any of that. It's about killing Arabs and protecting the United States.
Yeah.
And so if you like George W. Bush, you like Rubio now.
Yeah, yeah.
Is what I would say.
Yeah, he was waffling on the immigration thing, but I guess he probably makes up for it with the hawkish neocon thing.
I think so. That's the only thing that I think gets him is the immigration stuff. I think he did a decent job explaining it away, but if you're paying attention, it wasn't good enough.
I don't know. I mean, I in theory, you're right. You know, Trump just seemed completely out of his element, but he always has. So
yeah.
I don't know how this changes anything. Maybe it does. Maybe people are finally kind of like, oh, well, maybe we actually need somebody who knows something about politics. But that's been working against everybody else this whole time. So I don't know if this, I mean, maybe it'll be a slow burn, you know, starting tomorrow, but I don't know.
Yeah.
If you love the shit out of Trump and you watch tonight, I don't see how you love Trump any less.
No. The only thing I would say is he looked pissed and not like a fire and brimstone way. He looked like his fifis were hurting.
Yeah, he started to go
and
a little off the rails.
That, I think, is going to make people think he's weak. The people who like him, I would say. People who like the way that he's just this like brash, whatever, fuck you. When he starts to get like, I don't like the way you're talking to me, and that makes me this sort pouting.
He's pouting,
is what I'm saying. Yeah, he's pouting.
Yeah,
I think that makes his supporters go like, "What's that about?"
Maybe.
I think Fiorina is jockeying for VP.
Yeah,
and I think she's a good candidate for it.
Oh yeah, especially with Hillary.
Exactly.
Because they're
get a woman on the ticket.
That'll peel off some of the.
Yep, she's well spoken. She's good in debate, so she can take down. Hopefully, they hope whoever. Our VP candidate is...
And she covers the conservative anti-abortion flank, too.
Yep, and she's in business, which recently I've discovered from talking to some of my non-liberal people, is really appealing about her and Trump's business background.
Yeah,
that
he has four bankruptcies and she got canned from HP.
I know. The facts don't matter, though, my love.
Just they were in business. Rich.
So I think she'd be who I'd pick if I were any one of them as my VP.
Yeah, I would say she's probably the front runner for that.
Yeah. Everybody else, I think, they're done.
They're toast?
Yeah. I don't see anybody getting any traction out of this that wasn't already kind of... in it, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess Cruz probably helped himself. Rubio probably helped himself. Jeb didn't do anything. And I don't think Trump really hurt himself.
Yeah.
And Carson, whatever.
He's out. I mean, he's just... done. Every time he... I feel like
he's... also a potential VP pick, maybe, because he's black. I know Reince Priebus thinks, like... Rubio Fiorina is his dream ticket.
Yep. 100%. Mm-hmm. Young Latino man, older white businesswoman.
Well,
conservatives
what
on
was
all
Fiorina's home. Line that, like, if you want, don't,
oh,
don't
yeah.
have a man do the job, it's got to be a woman?
She was quoting somebody and she was saying, if you want to talk about something, ask a man. If you want to do something, ask a woman. And that was her way of saying, like, don't vote for men.
Yeah, it's a little harsh with your kind of sharing a stage full of men.
Yeah.
You're basically taking a shot at every other opponent on stage because of their gender.
I agree. I think what she's trying to do is be on the offensive about her own, which is why she's talking about Margaret Thatcher and she's talking about other female leaders because she understands the party she's in. Hillary doesn't have to do that stuff as much because she's not in a party of, you know,
swinging dicks,
anti-feminist men's rights activists. And Fiorina is. And so I think she has, she's, her strategy there is to kind of say, I want to point out that I'm a woman and I recognize that. And I know you may have a problem with it, but here's why it's a good thing that I'm a woman.
Is that going to be just a bunch of a hard ass?
Yeah, exactly. I'll actually get something done. Not like these. It's sort of like, you know how all the commercials have like the doofus dad and then like the get stuff done mom?
Yeah.
I think she's trying to appeal to that notion of like, all they do is talk. I'll take care of the dishes, you know?
The dishes, huh?
Yeah. That's her. That's who she's talking to, you know?
Oh, God. That's nauseating.
Oh, it is. It's disgusting. I can't believe any woman would ever be a part of the Republican Party, but I can't understand why any human would. So it's fine. I'm not a great person to ask.
Well, that's about going to wrap it up. Talking about the debate was much more fun than watching the debate.
Sure was.
The Democratic one, I think, is going to be after the holidays, right? The next Democratic one? The Republican next one, I could care less. Hopefully it's not till like June.
December of next year?
But it'll be sooner than that, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And we'll
you can
see
look
what
the debate schedule up online, but yeah, it's a little while.
Arliss Bunny's going to be joining us in the next couple days. She's going to give her brilliant economics background to discussing the current state of what's going on in Congress and the budget fights and what she knows about the respective economic policies of our presidential candidates here. So we're really looking forward to that.
Yep.
And stay tuned. We'll be back soon. As usual, I've been Travis.
I'm Rachel.
And we'll see you soon. Bye.